a very special opportunity here on WV1 on a match day at Molyneux. Sam Perrin, the head of kit, joins us as things are getting set on this match day as Wolves are set to face Luton, and there's a hub of activity here, Sam. What goes into a match day and all the preparation for you and your staff and making sure that everything is just right?
We have plans in place to make sure everything goes smoothly as it can do. Normally what we do, we set up two or three days before the game. We bring everything over from the training ground. So the training ground is the hub for preparation. So we prep all the shirts, all the kit, all the staff kit. These days, as you may well know, we tend to have a lot more staff. So there's just as many staff as there is players. So we'll come here, we'll drop everything off. And then once we've got the final squad from the manager, normally on a Friday afternoon, we'll pop back and we'll set everything up. That's all the shirts out, all the kits out, staff kits. But we tend to have everything prepped and ready within the week at the training ground. And then everything's just easier to put out when we get here on a match day.
When it comes to boots, like, are there special preparations for players with their boots that come into getting things ready over at Compton and bringing it into Molyneux for the match day?
Yeah, the boots can be a tough subject sometimes. So we tend to know what the players wear during the week. We tend to know what they'll wear the day before a game. Some players wear the same boot throughout. So some players don't mind just taking one boot, but I like to take two or three. So I'll always normally take two studs and a plastic, which is a mould. If the player doesn't wear a stud, then I'll flip it round and I'll take two plastics, which is the mould, and one stud. So for peace of mind, if a lace breaks or the boot breaks, I know I've got a couple of backup plans. But it's also knowing and remembering which boots players wear, because if you forget that pair of boots, which, touch wood, hasn't happened because we go through certain procedures to do that, but then we've got another pair there to replace.
Now, back in America, I have friends that are equipment managers with NBA teams, this sort of thing, and like, they tell me all the time that it's not just the standard stuff, it's then the specific requests. What are some of the requests or some of the things that you have to do to make sure that the players have the personalized feel for what they need?
Some players are fairly easy. Some players are literally shorts, warm-up t-shirt, jumper, socks and slips, which are the sloggies. Whereas some players prefer certain, so some players will have certain underwear, which is match only. So we have to make sure, if we have, like we had this week, we've had three games in a week. After one game, we get it back, we wash it, we put it in for the next game. Some players, when Ruben Neves was here, when he had his beautiful long locks, he would have a hairband. So we had to make sure that the hairband was in the kit, because his kit would be set out a certain way. So it'd be set out to put on as he saw it. So we'd make sure the hairband was kind of last on the pile. So once he got himself ready, then he'd pick the hairband up and off he goes.
You know, before catching up with you here, I was up in the offices speaking with Alan Perrins with the Worldwide Wolves organization. And he brought up an interesting point that, you know, I've been kind of wondering myself, too. It's how, when it's black and gold predominantly, and I guess you'd say Watford, Hull would be also that same color scheme, but in the Premier League, that wouldn't clash necessarily. How then do the red or the blue kits come into play? When are the decisions made that that is going to be what the players are wearing? How does that work?
So it can be commercially driven. The Premier League do have a big say in, and they dictate in what you wear. I mean, we're lucky here to have quite a unique color and brand. So unless you, like you say, you're playing your Norwiches, your Watfords, you don't really need to change. But there's a unique selling point for away and third shirts now across the Premier League. So they try to sell them as well as home shirts. But I'm quite a traditionalist. I take pride in my job, and I understand that the fans come first. And I like to try and wear gold as much as I can. If I'm a little bit superstitious, like we've lost to Sheffield United and Fulham wearing all gold, so I've not worn the gold shorts since then. But I will try to wear the home shirt and home kit in big games, in derbies, in the last game of the season. I will push back on any commercial to make sure that happens. But in regards to away and fur kit, again, a little bit superstitious. We did well in the away and fur kits for a while, so I tried to wear them where I could. And then, for example, we play Man City next week, and I'll be wearing the red kit because it's an opportunity to get that out for one last time. If the players feel comfortable in the red kit, preferred to a blue kit, and we have to change, we'll look at that as well. There's a different aspect of working in the behind the scenes of a professional football club, and you kind of switch. And I think that's the key point, is having been a fan and having been around football from a young age, I know what it means to the people watching. So if, for example, with the kits, I try and make sure that the gold and black is worn, because it's key to them.
In America, folks do have their favorite teams and this sort of thing, but collectibles with jerseys and just like what it is to wear such a thing as fashion has become quite a thing, prompted by the music industry, this sort of thing. From your perspective, have you, or do you know people that just, no matter what the club is, even though people are very strong with their support, that just the item itself is sort of a collectible wearable that people want?
Yeah, I think again, we're unique. We're, the badge is a fantastic badge. It's a brand. You don't see many badges like ours here at Wolves. So it's important that we try and use that as much as we can. In regards to shirts, I think, unfortunately for me, it's kind of out of my say in the design element. That comes from the technical supplier and the commercial and retail board here at Wolves. So I kind of get to see it, but don't get to make the decisions in it. That's kind of out of my league. But I can only dress the players in the old gold and black as much as I can, and make sure that when we do have the designs and the kit does land, that we print it. For example, we used to have curved names. I think it looks smarter with straight names, so that's my decision. And I've not looked back since I changed that. So there's things like that. But in regards to jerseys across, I mean, I'm not sure what it's like with you guys over in America, but when we play other teams, you kind of try to collect the odd jersey from another team and you swap. So that for me was bigger when I first started in this role, but now I kind of got a couple, but there's a couple of unique ones that I've managed to collect along the way, which I will keep.
Basketball has definitely followed football with exactly what you're talking about, the post-match jersey swap, because the star players do like to show that there is some camaraderie there amongst everybody. So we're here at Molyneux, and the match day essence is definitely one thing, and I love the explanation how the prep is done at Compton and then it migrates here. The prep is, I'm sure, also done at Compton for then the road, but you got a little extra time in between. When you're at away grounds, what is the process? I mean, I'm watching the gentleman from Luton start wheeling stuff in at the door, and I'm helping him get the door open today. So, I mean, it's a kind of like a carnival going on, getting everything in the door. What is that for you?
Logistically, it can be a right nightmare. I mean, we're lucky here where we don't have to fly as much as the guys or girls do in America, I'd imagine. So we have a lot of stuff that goes by van or by truck. There's a couple of games where the players will fly or train, but we still drive. They're the bigger journeys. So we'll tend to leave, me and my assistant Barry will leave kind of early on in the sort of late morning. And then our equipment monitor, Harry, he'll follow up in a car or with the team, with the boots that the players have kind of trained in. So we can get on the road and get early, because sometimes if you're driving to Brighton, it could be a 4-hour drive, especially on a Friday afternoon. So we look to try and organise that. We take our stuff down on the van first. We'd get that to the stadium the night before. We'll get it all in. We'll set up 70% of it, because you don't want to give nothing away in regards to squads or teams. And then we'll go to the hotel. We'll then, in the morning, load up all the physio equipment, the sports science equipment, because the van's now empty. And we'll bring that across in the morning of the games, bring that into the dressing room and kind of put that ready for them to set up and finish the final pieces. But yeah, it's tins, it's skips, it's bags, it's a lot of stuff. And that's just in regards to your Premier League games.
So the last thing here that I ask is if when you're on a training camp trip out of country, I bet the main thing you're thinking of before you leave is, where's the laundromat, or how are we going to do all the wash?
That's the first question I always ask. Where's the laundry? What time is it being picked up, and when's it coming back? Because you're so used to a pattern here back home, with the laundry goes in as the players finish training, it comes back out at this time, you fold, you put it away. And once we kind of get that back from the laundry, we know our timing scales of putting it back and folding and re-prepping match kit. But when we go away, it's kind of the key thing. Sometimes when we've been on a couple of trips to Marbella and we've trained at the Marbella Football Centre, everything is done there. So if you've got five or six teams, they do all the laundry at the training centre, which for me is, and probably the kit staff, is a nightmare, because you never know when you're going to get it back. You never know what you're getting back. But the kind of the European trips, the pre-season, the training camps, we can still send stuff by van. So we'll try and send as much as we can 2 or 3 days in advance of the team arriving. We'll have drivers that will drive that out. They'll then drop that off. And then we'll then fly a day before the team, so I can set everything up. So when the team arrive, it's like being back at Compton, but with a bit of sunshine. Whereas if they're further afield, like in the winter, we went to Abu Dhabi for a warm weather training camp. We try and take everything in bags. And smaller skips, which goes on the same plane that we fly out. So we kind of prep that so that when we have to even think about when you load the plane, that the first thing off is the training kit, so that one member of kit staff can zoom to the hotel while I'll wait behind and make sure everything else comes off the plane.
That is the coordination of all of this. And thank you for explaining it all, especially on a match day. Certainly a thrill. Sam, thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. Thank you very much for having me.